You have your copy of God's Word. If you turn with me, please, to the Old Testament, to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 27 is where we'll be reading from in just a moment. But I want to speak to you this morning on the subject of the importance of a friend. The importance of a friend. If there's one thing that we ought to have in this world, it ought to be a friend. Everybody needs friends. Someone that you can talk to, somebody that you can trust, somebody that you can share your dreams and hopes with. We all need that. There's nothing better than knowing that you have somebody that you can rely upon that share those things with you when you're feeling sad or depressed or lonely and you need just a helping hand or somebody, a shoulder to lean on. It's good to know that you have a friend that can do that for you. Even in the times when we're experiencing great triumph in our life, you know, a lot of people don't like to see you when you're having good things happen to you. But if you have a good friend, they're always excited for you, no matter what's going on in your life, they share it with you. It's been said that a man's best friend's a dog. I hate to think that that old beagle we got over there is my best friend. But listen, you know, it seems that when we were children, growing up in school, that it was quite easy to get friends back then. I mean, you know, those classmates that we hung out with and played with and we went to lunch together and, you know, all these things. We had a lot of people that we called friends, you know. Where are those people now? Once you graduate from school, things become very different. You go and get into the real world, and a good friend is sometimes hard to find, a real good friend. I have many people that I consider friends. My best friend growing up was Kevin Roberts. He's Frank's son. We grew up together, lived on the same street. We played and did things all the time. You know, Kevin, he even married my wife's sister. We were such good friends. Now, he met her at our wedding. It's good to have friends. You would think that being a pastor that, you know, it'd be easy to have friends in the ministry, and I wish that was the case, but a lot of times the ministry is one lonely place. You may think that sounds strange, but it truly is. You've got to be careful a lot of times who you entrust and think that you're a friend, especially when it is in the ministry. Now, I do have some good friends. I know this is a lot of introduction here I'm doing. I don't normally do this, but I wanted you to get into your mind the subject about the importance of a friend. And like I said, I do have some good friends here on this earth. Of course, Mary, my wife, is my best friend, and that's the way it ought to be. Your husband or your wife ought to be your best friend because they share the same dreams and hopes that you have, and so it ought to be that way. But I have other friends. I've got a good friend, Brother Jonathan Tharp. Many of y'all met him. He came here and preached last November, and he's the pastor of Outreach Baptist Church over here on Cedar Avenue. He's a good friend of mine. We go to breakfast together, and we study together, and we go to church services together. And so I like having a good friend in the ministry that way. But I want to talk to you this morning about another friend. And I pray that everybody in here has this same friend of mine. And if you don't, I pray that today before you leave that you'll know all about my friend, and he can be your friend as well. And so, like I said, if you have your copy of God's Word, we're going to read our text out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, and if you please stand for the reading of God's Word on just this one verse, Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, the Bible says, "A man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother." Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reading of your word this morning. I'm praying now, God, that you anoint me and help me this morning, Lord, to bring glory to you. And Lord, when we leave here, everybody will realize just what a friend that we have in Jesus. Help us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. Well, here in the book of Proverbs is another great truth that's given to us from the Bible. You may notice a lot of times I speak of things in the Bible of being a great truth. It's because everything in the Bible is a great truth. There's nothing false in the Bible. It's all true. It's inspired by God, and he inspired men, human beings, men, to pen down the words that God has directed them to pen down. And so every word in our inspired Bible here is perfect. And just as in the case of this writing here in the book of Proverbs written by King Solomon, you may recall there in the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 3, the Lord, he was allowing Solomon to have what he asked for. Solomon didn't ask for great riches or wealth or anything like that. He wanted to be able to lead God's people the best that he could. And so God gave him wisdom. And the Bible said he was wise and had an understanding, that was like none before him or any after him. And so Solomon is considered the wisest man in the world. Well, this wise man that God's inspired to write this text, he's relaying to us a great truth here in God's Word, and it's a truth about friends. A friend, he said, that sticketh closer than a brother. Now, I've read and heard some preaching and teaching on this text that wants to argue and debate exactly who this friend is that it's referring to, and people have all kinds of wild and crazy ideas about it. But I want you to know I'm not confused at all about who this friend is. It doesn't confuse me. I'm not trying to find another source. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, that we have a friend that sticketh closer than the brother, and the only friend that I know that would do that is the Lord Jesus. And you may say to me, well, now, wait a minute, Brother Byron, this is the Old Testament. I thought Jesus wasn't around until the New Testament. Oh, that's where you'd be wrong, friends. Jesus has always been. He's always been. You see, what a lot of people don't understand is that Jesus is, in fact, God. Jesus is God. Now, the false religions of today, the cults today, will tell you otherwise. The Jehovah Witnesses certainly don't believe that Jesus is God. And they'll tell you that if they come and on your door, you know, ask them point blank. Say, do you believe that Jesus is God? And boy, that'll really get them to send on their way. But they don't believe it. Of course, there's a lot of things they don't believe. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in the Holy Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. They don't believe in a literal hell. They believe that, that Jesus actually is Michael the Archangel. And so there's a lot of things that they don't believe in. They believe in a work salvation instead of grace through faith. The Mormons, they certainly don't believe that Jesus is God at all. They deny that. They also deny the Trinity, doctrine. They also deny that, a lot of things that we believe in. They believe that Jesus and Satan were brothers of all things. And so, listen, the world will try to get you and try to convince you of a lot of things, and it's simply not true. What we need to do is believe what God says. You know, I had an email. I'll share this with you quickly. I had an email last night, and the subject line was Job a righteous man? And it starts, and they're trying to sell a book. I understand what they're doing. But there's some book that was trying to claim that Job was not a righteous man. And there was like all these things. I don't remember how many there were, 10 or 20 things that they said that Job was not a righteous man. And so, listen, the world will try to make you and convince you to believe all kinds of things that's not true. And so what we need to do is rightly divide the word of truth. Well, what does the Bible say about Jesus? Well, the Bible says over in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And what does it say? And the Word was God. Who is the Word? Jesus. Jesus is the Word. And so it says, it goes on to say in verse 2, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And so, like I said, we all know who the Word is. The Word is the Lord Jesus. Well, the Bible said right there, He was in the beginning there with God, and He created all things, and nothing was created without Him. Well, it goes on to say there in John 1 and 14, and the Word was made flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The only begotten is Jesus. And who's the Word? Jesus. And what was the Word done? He was made flesh. And so Jesus is the God-man. You see, the Bible says in John 4 and 24 that God is a spirit. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says in John 1 and 18, no man has seen God at any time. And so for us to be able to see God, for man to be able to relate to this God, then what? God, what did He do? He stepped down from His royal throne, and He put on a fleshly robe, the robe of man. And what we call that the virgin birth. He was born of a virgin in Bethlehem by Mary. And that was the God-man, Jesus, being born. And that's what the Bible says in Matthew 1 and 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. You see that? I mean, how can you deny what the Bible is clearly telling us? That God is with us, Emmanuel. Jesus is God. I know I'm trying to drive that home, but I want you to get that through your mind, because when one of these false witnesses come to your door and start trying to convince you otherwise, then you can say, now, wait a minute. The Bible says this, and try to let them explain the Bible then. Well, our Watchtower magazine said otherwise. Well, you get your Watchtower magazine and just head on your way, okay? Well, friends, listen, this God-man Christ Jesus, as you know, he dwelt here among men for 33 and some odd years, 33 and a half, 33 and a third, you know, it's hard to pin down. But he lived a perfect, sinless, spotless life, and he was a witness to all the world of a perfect man. He never sinned. The Bible tells us this. And he became sin for us. A man that had never sinned actually became sin for us. Now, why would he do that? Well, simply because the Bible says that sin brings forth death. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And so if we've come short of the glory of God and we're all sinners, that means that we have a sin debt that has to be paid, because sin has to be paid for. You can't afford the payment for it. Nobody in here can pay the penalty. The richest man in the world couldn't pay the penalty for sin. And so we had to have someone that was able to pay the penalty of sin, our sin debt. Have you ever been in debt? Hey, we all do it, don't we? You go buy a new car. What do? You go in debt for that new car, unless you got a lot of money, you know, and able to pay cash or something. What do you buy a house? You have a mortgage. You're in debt for that home. So we go in debt a lot of times. But I want you to know the greatest debt that we have is the debt of sin that has to be paid for. Well, thank God that the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten, there's that word again, begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Why would we perish? To pay our sin debt. Should not perish, but that we could have everlasting life. So God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so I'm thankful for that today. Listen, friends, we had to have this one to come and pay our sin debt. Well, that one is Jesus Christ. He became our substitute. If not for Jesus, we would all have to pay the penalty for sin. Well, as we know, as we're talking on the theme here of the importance of a friend, Jesus Christ himself was betrayed by one of his own friends. Judas, as my dad used to say, Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, he betrayed the Lord Jesus. He was, of course, pointed the Roman soldiers to him as Jesus was betrayed. He was arrested. He was put on trial. He was mocked. He was beaten. He was ridiculed and scorned. And then he was made to carry his own cross up to his own death site up the hill of Golgotha. The Bible says is the place of the skull, because it resembles one when you look at it. As Jesus hung on that cross on Calvary and shed every drop of his blood to pay our sin debt. But he was betrayed by one of his friends. The Bible says in John 15 and 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. I believe we know who laid their life down, don't we? It was the Lord Jesus. The Bible also says in Romans 5, 7 and 8, for scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine standing there, allowing those cruel Roman soldiers to beat you into a bloody pulp, strip the skin off of your back, tear the flesh out of your body, nail you to a wooden cross, and yet loving them the whole time? Can you imagine? While we were yet sinners. Oh, he didn't say while you went and cleaned yourself up and you presented yourself a perfect person. It doesn't say that. Listen, we're not to clean ourselves up and then come to God. God does the cleaning. Yeah? Christ does the difference. The Bible says that once we become saved, we become new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. It's what the Bible says. And so I know there's a lot of people in this life. I've talked to people. I've invited them to church, and I say, won't you come and visit us over at Highland? And I say, well, one of these days I might, but right now there's a lot of things in my life, and I really don't need to be in church. I need to get some things fixed up first. And I tell them every time, I say, now listen, this is the perfect opportunity for you to come to church. This is why you need to come and hear the Word of God preached. Listen, so you don't try to clean yourself up and then come to church and hear the Word of God. It doesn't work that way. Listen, we all have sinned, the Bible said. So even that person that you know to be so good, you'll think of that sweetest little granny sitting around somewhere that you love so much, and I loved my grannies, and just think of them. They too sinned and come short of the glory of God. They had to be saved. And so there's no one that's perfect on this earth. Only the Lord Jesus was perfect. And the Bible says, like it says there, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I think that should settle it for us right there, that He is the greatest friend that we could ever have. And I tried to lead that song in the choir there a while ago, and I failed on that one. But and like I said, by the way, pray for a song leader, all right? We need a song leader. So your pastor doesn't have to try to do it all the time. But listen, this settles it for me. How many of us today, how many people do you know would go and lay down their life for you? You know everything you've ever done. You know every thought that's ever crossed your mind, every little rotten thing down in your heart. You know other people that have the same problems you do. You think you'd give your life for them? I dare to say there's not a one today that would have gave their life for this wicked, sinful, rotten, filthy world. But the Lord Jesus did. He's a friend to us, friends. Listen, I've had people in this life that claim to be my friends. And they'll come and they'll be my friend as long as I've got something that they need. If there's something that I can do to help them, then they'll be my friend for that period of time. But when my help is done, whenever it's over with, they're no longer my friend. We've all met people that way, right? They'll use you. They'll use you up. But the Bible says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times, at all times. And so Jesus loves us no matter what, no matter our filthy, rotten condition, but Jesus still loves us. How many friends do you know that would do that for you? In your darkest hour, in your deepest depression, they'll be there for you. How many would hang around and call you their friend? If there ever comes a time in this United States, and I pray it never happens, but you don't know what tomorrow holds. If there ever comes a time when you're persecuted for being a Christian, how many people do you think is going to stand by you when they come around asking if you love the Lord Jesus, if you're going to deny Christ? How many of your friends are going to stay there with you and say, yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus? I'd say there's going to be a lot of people, and we're going to see a great separation if that ever comes, of who really truly is saved. Over in the book of Job, Satan is relaying actually a truth. Now, we know Satan is the father of all lies. He's a liar and the father of them. But he relates a great truth concerning the nature of man. And this is what he said. He's talking to the Lord. And in Job 2:4, he said, skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. So you better believe if it came down to somebody losing their life and remaining your friend, you're going to get unfriended really quick. You know, over on Facebook, some people unfriend you if you say something they don't like. I want to tell you, if it ever comes down to the brass tacks, those that don't really have the stuff, those that are really not your friend, they're going to unfriend you right quick, friends, because skin for sin. Skin for skin. Listen, even the greatest friend that you may think you have, that you think would stick close to you and never leave you, these human friends down here, friends, we're all flesh. And in times of trouble, they may desert you. I'm reminded of the Apostle Peter. We all know his story. And a lot of people give Peter a hard time, but I see a lot in Peter that reminds me of myself, of how at times he's walking big and tall and bold and living for the Lord, and he's just to do all things. Remember, he's the one that when they come to arrest Jesus, he whips out a sword and whacks off that soldier's ear, you know. You're not going to take my friend, Jesus. But what happened just shortly after that? And we all know what happened. Peter denied Christ 3 times. Not once, but 3 times. Yet he claimed to be the friend of the Lord Jesus. Turn with me quickly over to the book of Psalms. I'm going to show you something. Psalm 41, verses 7 through 13. Psalm 41, verses 7 through 13. Now, here in the book of Psalms, it says this, and this is David writing. He said, "All that hate me whisper together against me. Against me to do, they devise my hurt. An evil disease, say they, cleaveth fast unto him, and now that he lieth, he shall rise up no more." And listen what he says in verse 9. "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. But thou, O Lord, be merciful unto me, and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. Blessed be the name, be the Lord God of Israel for, from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen." Well, this psalm that we just read right here, the psalm of David, of course, it's not only reflecting an actual event that occurred in David's life. If you remember the story, his son Absalom was trying to overthrow him in the kingdom. And he'd garnered a lot of David's men, a lot of his trusted men. And one of those men, though, that David was counted to be one of his friends, Ahithophel, he actually betrayed David and sided up with his son Absalom in trying to defeat David. And of course, we know after that, David then had to flee with his trusted men. But this was not only a picture of what happened in David's life, but it's also a snapshot of what would be to come with the Lord Jesus as he was betrayed by his own trusted friend there in Judas Iscariot. And so he said, that's why he said, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." Listen, church, as our opening text says, "And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. This friend, the Lord Jesus Christ, he will never leave thee nor forsake thee, but he will go with you all the way." Friends, I want you to know that today. The Lord loves you. He loves you more than any friend that you've ever met. I mean, I'm telling you, friends, in your lowest time, in your times of struggles, in your times of trials, in your depression, a lot of people will stay away from you when you're in a bad way. A lot of people want to leave you and forsake you. They'll stay away. They won't call you. They won't come and visit you when you're in a bad place. But I want you to know the Lord Jesus is right there for you, regardless of what you're going through. And in your joys and triumphs and in your sorrow and your depression, the Lord Jesus is there. Why? Because he's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. He's the greatest friend that you'll ever know. I'm praying today that something that God has said in his word will convict your heart if you've never known him as the friend that he can be to you. Friends, that today will be the day that you make him your friend and he'll always be with you. He'll never leave you. Oh, the Lord loves us so much. It's so important that we understand that, of the love that Jesus Christ has for us. And listen, you can sit here and listen to me and say, "Oh, there he goes. Yeah, talking about Jesus, you know, loving us and stuff." And that's the way a lot of the world is today. It does nothing but bore the world. But for the child of God, if you've ever been in the lowest of lows that you've ever been, when you think there's no way out, when you're so dark and crying, and just like David talked about, his bed was filled with tears and sorrow, it was soaked from his tears. If you've ever been there, then you know who I'm talking about today. If you know the Lord Jesus, he is the only one that will be there for you. Hey, your family may love you and they may stay there with you and try to comfort you, but I want you to know there's not enough comfort from your family or your friends that can give you the type of comfort that only Jesus can give you, because he's that friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I remember times in my life when it looked like it was so low, I would never be able to get out. There was a time in my life about 20 years ago, was the darkest time of my life, and I thought I was just ready to give up. I was ready to just throw it all away. I was ready to just forget it all and leave this life. And I had thoughts going through my head driving down the road one day. And I come to a spot over on Asheville Highway, across that bridge right there, across from that concrete plant where that big thing is, it goes through the river there. And I saw a little opening right there, and I thought, I'm just going to floor the gas on this thing. And I'm going to go right off the side of this thing, and I hope it kills me.
And I want you to know that I come down through there, and it was like God took my hands, and he kept that steering wheel straight down that road. And listen, I'm not trying to tell you that there was some crazy thing happened, but I want you to know that God stepped in. He intervened, and the greatest friend that I ever had took a hold of that wheel, and he kept me from doing that. He's the greatest friend I ever had. It was right after that that, oh, I got down on my knees, and I repented of my sins, and I prayed to God to help me, and he straightened out everything in my life, and he put me back on the solid rock where I belong. Oh, and friends, there was nobody else around that would come and help me. I didn't have an earthly friend except for my wife. I didn't have an earthly friend that would come and say, Byron, what's going on with you? Why are you like this? Why are you so sad? There wasn't anybody to do that except the Lord. Except the Lord Jesus. He's the greatest friend I've ever had. And I want you to know he can be your greatest friend. If you don't know him today, his sister Becky and brother Scott come. I've asked them to sing this song, What a Friend We Have in Jesus. And I want you to listen to the words as they sing this. And listen, this is not a time to turn off, all right? I know a lot of times when you start giving an invitation, people say, well, it's over. You close your Bible and you pack up and you already think about what you're going to go eat after this and all. This is not that time. Hey, the Lord can take control right now. We may be here another hour. It depends on the Lord. This is an important time. There may be somebody sitting right here in this congregation right now that is going through such a trial and a struggle, and they need this friend in their life. This may be the time that they need so much in their life. I want to ask you while they're singing, I want you to meditate and pray upon this and think about those. And if you need help, would you come down the altar and let me pray with you as they sing? Well, would everybody please stand and we'll dismiss with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for the service that we've had today. Lord, we pray it's been pleasing to you. Lord, we thank you for these that's come down during the invitation time, God, and prayed. We thank you for the Houstons for singing the invitation song, God. And Lord, for each one that's here, Lord, you know everybody's heart and what their need is. And God, we're so thankful that the Lord Jesus is our friend. Lord, he's one that sticketh closer than a brother. And God, he's there for us in all of our times of sorrow and trials and in our times of need. And we're thankful for that. Lord, we pray that each one here today realizes that and has trusted you to be that friend. Oh, Father, help us on our way home. Keep us safe. Bring us back here tonight, Lord. And we'll give you the praise for everything. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In fear of the Lord, we're separated.